We have been working on the characteristics of the world prior to the coming, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Characteristics are found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, where he says that in the last days there will be perilous or calamitous times. And then a whole bunch of descriptions. Well, why were there calamitous times? We started with a little flow chart, and I suggested that mankind today, en masse, does not believe in the existence of God. Or if he does, it's only in the theoretical sense. God is way out there. God is not involved in the affairs of men. And if that be so, then man is only responsible to and for himself. Man is his own ruler. And consequently, if that be the case, then you're going to have people who will be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, and proud, which are the first of the descriptions in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. If man is only responsible to and for himself, then man can act however he pleases towards others. I don't have to worry about you. I'm my own boss. And I, consequently, if I want to blaspheme, I can blaspheme. If I want to be disobedient to parents or authority, I can do so. If I don't have to be thankful, because I'm my own man. That's how those things go. And those were the next the characteristics found there. Then last week we looked at if man can act however he decides towards others, man, on the other hand, only has to do whatever pleases him. And we looked at things such as without natural affection and truce breakers, false, incontinent, accusers, lovers of pleasures. The next logical progression or degression of thought, man can do whatever pleases him, the key word being whatever. Therefore, man is not bound by any external absolutes. Whatever. There is nothing, no rules, no regulations. At very best, there might be some guidelines towards my behavior. But that's, even if there are guidelines, they're not absolute. So we can change the guidelines to suit my needs. I might be guided by a principle one day, and tomorrow I wake up and I say, you know what, I really don't like that principle. Here's a new principle I'm going to live by, whatever pleases me. And consequently, in the world today, there's no absolute truth. You can have your truth, but that's your truth, it's not mine. And consequently, if man is not bound by external absolutes, you're going to find all kinds of behavior. Man will be fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, and last but not least, having a form of godliness. I want to take a look at them tonight. What you have here is what is called in theological terms apostasy. Apostasy is a word that's made up of a Greek preposition, apo, meaning away from, and a form of the verb histemi, to stand. Literally, apostasy is to stand away from something, implies a position that was once held. We've moved away from that which we have received or accepted as truth to another position. And consequently, the things that were of old, that would keep people from being fierce or despisers of those that are good and so forth and so on, We've thrown out the absolutes. And we're living by our own standards, if any. Do we see these characteristics in the world today? Absolutely. Well, let's break them down a little bit and we'll see how much we see these things. The word fierce literally means not tamed or uncivilized. It's used of an animal that is wild or a culture that is barbaric. As I thought about this word, I broke it down into three different types of fierceness. The first fierceness is where people have no value for life itself. especially in the inner cities, where the crime rate is high. Murders become a daily occurrence. It's sad. Why do people murder another people? They have no value for life. It's nothing to take a gun or a knife or something else and take the life of a person, because after all, you're your own boss. If they're threatening your lifestyle, there's no law that says that you can't have your freedoms or your pleasures or whatever you want to do. And if you want somebody else's, just take it. And if they resist, kill them. But that's not the only type of place where this no value for life comes into play. Let me give you another one. Road rage. A couple of years ago, we were traveling out to see our kids out in Illinois, and we were going on the Ohio Turnpike. Went through a construction zone. Speed limit 50. Going through the construction zone. Normally it's 70. Going through there, three lane at that point was cut down to two lanes. I had gotten out into the left-hand lane. And you know that in construction zones, what's the first sign that you see? Fines are doubled. Now, I don't think you should be speeding anywhere, but especially in construction zones, because it costs a lot of money. Don't tell me if I know, or ask me if I know. Actually, I don't. I've never been caught in a construction zone. Well, I didn't say that. You may think it. But I'm out in the left-hand lane, and I'm doing 55 miles an hour. And there's a guy right on my bumper. I was not going to go a mile faster than 55. I really did not feel comfortable doing 55, but no one was letting me in the right-hand lane. I mean, there was a long line of cars, and I'm slowly making progress toward, but I mean, that line of cars in the right-hand lane had to be at least a mile long, or at least it seemed like it. And this guy is right in my bumper, and you could see the anger in his eyes. And finally, I got to the front of the line and pulled over right when the construction zone ended. Guess who pulled in front of me? He did. Guess how fast? Now that the speed limit goes back to 70, he's continued to do 50 miles an hour in front of me. And I know he was waiting for me to pull out to pass him. And I said to myself, there is no way that I am going to pull out and pass him. Because if I do, I will be a dead man. Fortunately, he got off at the next exit. And then I did 85 miles an hour to make up for the lost time. No, I didn't do that. No value for life. Road rage. Abortion. We don't care about an unborn life. It's not life at all. Right? Isn't that what your sister said? It's not life till it's born. Yeah, sure is. No value for life in the world today. Secondly, fierceness is displayed in no respect for property. Did you happen to watch the protests for the inauguration? Now, they certainly have their right to express their beliefs, do whatever, but not break windows. Now, fortunately, the windows of the one store that they brought was rope was a supporter of Mrs. Clinton. So I thought it was poetic justice. But where do they get off with this kind of stuff? When a verdict comes down in a shooting case where the police officers are declared to be innocent and the community goes on a rampage and loots and burns and does, where do they get off doing that? There's no respect for property. And consequently, we can act however we want to act. In a very mild sense, graffiti. Well, I want to express myself. So I'll just take a spray can, paint something that nobody can read. Well, that's expression. That's art. That's wrong. It's not your property. Thirdly, no appreciation of manners. Language in the world today, the profanities, just is appalling. And here's one that you might not think of, but it gets under the skin of both Carol and I. Cell phones. Come over for supper or we go out to dinner, and what's the first thing we do? We set the cell phone right down on the table. Did you come to be with me or the person on the end of the cell phone? I think that's rude. But no appreciation of manners. And consequently, while that may not necessarily be characterizing fierceness, it has that idea behind it. Second one, despisers of those that are good. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that change light into darkness and darkness into light and exchange bitterness and sweetness." We have a reversal of qualities. That which is good is now no longer any good anymore. And if, man, you were bad, you were good. Wait a minute. I'm getting confused here. Yeah, that's the idea. But the things that we counted as good years ago that the Bible declares to be good, today the world looks upon them and says, "You're living in the past." Well, you know what? The past wasn't so bad. I'd kind of like to live in the past a little bit more. Well, you can't do that. You're puritanical. Well, I wouldn't mind being puritanical either. At least a little bit. Well, that limits my freedom. There's an illustration, and you've probably heard it many times before, but I'll use it once again. I don't know if I've ever used it, but I'll use it here. Of a train. A train has to stay on two rails. Those rails limit the freedom of the train. It can only go in the direction of the rails. Take away the rails, and the train can go in any direction it wants to, except one thing. It can't go anywhere. The rails don't limit the freedom of the train. They enable the freedom of the train to go from point A to point B. Rules in our society don't limit our freedoms. Rules in our society makes it so that we can live out our freedoms. But we say, you got to let somebody else decide. Like in the case of the abortion issue. It's the woman's decision to do whatever she wants with her own body. And as I've said 100 times before, now 101, it's not her body. Traitors. Word means traitors. One who abandons another, breaks a contract. All I have to do is mention sports superstars. You have an athlete who signs a multi-million dollar contract to play baseball. Isn't it interesting how some people complain about the salaries of CEOs who are responsible for thousands of people making a couple of million dollars a year, and a baseball player who goes out and has fun can make the same salary, if not more, has nobody he's responsible to other than maybe a manager or so forth, and they don't complain about that salary? Does that make a lot of sense? But anyway, the sports star will sign a $45 million contract for 3 years. And that's an average player. And after the first year, somebody of equal abilities signs a $48,000 or $48 million contract, and the first player says, I'm not being paid enough. I'm not going to play until you renegotiate my contract. Well, hold it. Didn't you sign a 3-year contract? Didn't you obligate yourself for 3 years? At the end of 3 years, come up with another contract. But you said, this is agreeable to... Now we don't need to be agreeable with what I agreed to, because my wants change. By the way, Steve's here tonight. I want to renegotiate my contract. And now to appease those players, we've gone into free agency, which is a misnomer, because they come out of there with a lot of money. It's not free. There's no loyalty to a team anymore. And that's just in the world of sports. So it is in the family relationships. Marriages don't mean much. That's not a contract. That's just a formality. You've probably heard the statement, marriage is nothing more than a piece of paper. Yeah, it's a whole lot more than that. It's a commitment. Well, we don't need commitments because they're restricting my freedom. Heady. One who is ready to precipitate matters by hasty speech or actions. It describes a person who gives no thought to what they're doing. Now that happens to each and every one of us on occasion. Oh, I just didn't think of that. Okay, that happens. But this is the person who never gives any thought to the consequences of their actions. It's a act now, do what feels good. And if later there's complications from it, well, that's just the way it is. Let me give you an example that happened about 4 years or so ago. Some notable person said, we need to pass this in order that we can find out what's in it. Did you ever hear that one before? We have no idea what is contained in this bill, but if we put it into law, we'll figure it out. Lois, you introduced that in the Congress? You know, if you introduce that, I can understand why you wouldn't be a girlfriend. Wait a minute. What kind of reasoning is that? It's a reasoning that says, we don't have any absolutes. We want to do whatever we want to do. Now, some have suggested that Obamacare was designed to fail. That they wanted it to fail so that single-payer health care would be enacted. That they could say in Congress, oh, we just didn't go far enough and move to single payer. And I don't know that they're necessarily wrong in saying that was the goal of the thing. What they didn't think would happen is that Mrs. Clinton wouldn't be elected. They just assumed that another president would take over, and from there, and it would, well, we don't give thought to the consequences of the actions that we take. Fifthly, high-minded. The word literally means to be filled with smoke. Now, smoke can contain a lot of volume or fill a lot of volume. But when you get right down to it, how much substance is there to a big area of smoke? Nothing. Nothing really there. The word has a synonym for the word is conceited. It's got a big head. Nothing in it, but a big head. That's the idea. Isn't it interesting? And I'm getting off on politics tonight, but that's just the way it is. The Hollywood elites. Do you think they might qualify for this one? Why is it that they are the experts on political things? They're actors and actresses. They know how to put on... I guess they know how to put on a good show. That would qualify them to be politicians, wouldn't it? When did they get the degrees in political science? When did they stay up nights thinking about how to make this world a better place? I don't think many of them do that kind of stuff. Do you? And yet, they're the ones... We're the spokesmen. We're the elite. Heady, high-minded, conceited. And then worst of all, having a form of godliness. The word form literally means the outward appearance of. But then it says here, denying the power. Thereof. The word denying is accurately translated, but the tense of the verb doesn't quite give you everything that's there. It's a perfect tense verb, meaning at some point in the past, a denial was made, and a perfect tense means that there are continuing results of that. They denied this in the past, and they are still denying. So when you read it, it sounds like a present tense verb, which gives the essence of the continuing result. But they made a decision in the past to deny the power of God. But yet we want to maintain this outward appearance of it. Listen sometimes when people speak about God and religion, and you will hear this statement used a lot. That person is a very spiritual person. Well, what does that mean? Means they're Christian? No. Means they're outwardly religious? No, they're just interested in some appearances of religious things. But when you get down to the essence of what makes... And this is written in the context of those within the Christian church, so I'm going to confine these remarks to that. You get down, you have people that will talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. They have that outward manifestation. They show up in church on Sunday, but they don't care. They might wear spaghetti strainers on their head. I have spoken a number of times of a high school friend of mine, not too long ago on Facebook. He was questioned, I don't remember the exact scenario, but he sings in a choir in an Episcopalian church. He's not Episcopalian. He was brought up in Roman Catholicism, but at best he's an agnostic. May even be leaning towards atheism. Why does he sing in a choir, a church choir? Well, he's a musician. Why this church? And he answered the question. He said, this church, although he doesn't believe in anything that it teaches, is an accepting church. And they make beautiful music. Okay, so the question was asked, well, isn't that hypocritical? Well, his answer is this. Not only does this church make beautiful music and they're accepting, they have a practically no doctrinal statement at all. They'll believe just about anything. But their choir is paid. And he said this. A person who is an actor gets paid for portraying another person whose beliefs they may not agree with. He said, that's all the same as what I'm doing in this church. Having a form, an outward manifestation of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And that's all too common in the world in which we live. With each of these little studies, I've asked two questions. How do we keep from falling into that? And what can we do to help the world overcome those things? I'm going to kill two birds with one stone tonight. If you will, turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3. Follow along as I read. Beginning at verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds. Well, wait a minute. Hold the bus. Pure minds. What defines purity? Well, there has to be some standard. Your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words, and here's the standards, which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. Why their own lusts? Because they have no standards. They've apostatized. They stood away from what was once held. And saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they are willingly ignorant. Even though they're heady and high-minded, they are willfully ignorant. Of that, by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. He's going back to the days of Noah. He said, look, here's how God created the world, and that all came to an end, and the world perished. Because why? People put God out of their thinking, became concerned with themselves, didn't care what they did with others, and had no standards. In fact, if you go back to Genesis chapter 6, it says their thoughts were continuously evil. They called evil good. And were haters of those that were good. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, living by a standard set by God? Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Here's what it is for us. First of all, we remind ourselves of the Word of God. God's not going to let this go on forever. One day it's going to be judged. But in the end, there'll be a new world for you and I. Don't lose faith. faith, no matter how bad the world gets. Now, what do we teach to the world? Yeah, a generation or two or three or a whole bunch of generations ago, people were acting just like you, and God wiped them out. And He hasn't changed one iota in His standards. But He's also a God who is long-suffering, not willing that you should perish. Every day that goes on is another day that you have an opportunity to repent and come to Christ. But the days are numbered. Whether they receive that or not, we can't control. But we can express it. And God will bring it to pass. Father, help us tonight not to participate in the apostasy of this world. May our activities not be marked by fierceness, but gentleness. May we not be despisers of good, but promoters of those that are good. May we be those who are covenant-keeping people. People that are not heady, but hearty. Loving one another. Not high-minded, but humble. And not just having a form, an outward presentation of godliness, but the real deal from the soul of our being, of genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and a lifestyle that exemplifies it. May we be used displaying those characteristics to speak to a world that literally is headed toward hell, that we might rescue all who will come to faith in the Lord Jesus. To that end, we ask for your aid, for your comfort, for your encouragement, for your grace, that Jesus Christ then might be glorified in all these things. In His name we pray. Amen. Have a good week.